You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com and The Step Back. Today, the Cavs are coming off a win over the Detroit Pistons. They won 116-88 last night to pick up their fifth straight win, the longest win streak in this young season for the Cavs. They played overall really, really well. So today, recap of that game, looking into everything that happened. That Cavs win, a 38-point win, is the largest margin of victory for them this season, doubling up their previous largest margin of victory from an October 20th win over the Milwaukee Bucks a long time ago, exactly a month ago from the date of the win, in fact. And the Pistons' 88 points were the fewest number of points the Cavs have given up in a game this season. Really, really good performance for this team. I think you are seeing some better habits fulfilled. I think you're seeing an identity formed. I think the group that they played all together overall gelled really well. I think this was a complete effort. We're going to, as always, get into the good, the bad, the ugly, the play of the game, the stat of the game, and the player of the game for this Cleveland Cavaliers win over the Detroit Pistons. Before we do that, though, I want to let you know about a sponsor for today's podcast, and that's MyBookie. I get questions all the time for this podcast. It's usually awesome mailbag questions from you, the awesome Locked On Cavs audience, about X's and O's, cap space, draft rights, etc., all these basketball things. A lot of times, though, I also get questions about betting. Do I have the Bucks or the Cavs? Do I have the Clippers or the Knicks? I get questions about games. Let me tell you this, something that is 100% true. Where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. And today, if you use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, you get up to a 100% deposit bonus. There are a lot of online sportsbooks out there. MyBookie.ag is the only one that gets my stamp of approval. And you know I don't give that out lightly. To get my endorsement, I've got to personally use that product, and that means they have to be the best. MyBookie.ag is by far the best sportsbook I've used. MyBookie.ag has been in the business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, it's just two business days. That means you could bet tomorrow or bet today, use that promo code, and 2 days later, you're going to be getting a payout. It is no different from betting in a glitzy Las Vegas casino, but you can do it right from your smartphone without having to pay for that flight, pay for that hotel room, pay for that overpriced buffet on the strip. Trust me, go to mybookie.ag to place your bets and tell them I sent you by using that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Just go over there today, get the best odds anywhere, and use that promo code LOCKEDONNBA and let them know Locked On Cavs sent you there. Okay, so now we get into the good of this Cleveland Cavaliers-Detroit Pistons game. As I mentioned before, the Cavs rotated really, really well in defense in this game. They moved, they defended, they didn't have many issues with what the Pistons did. The Pistons, as you may have heard Duncan Smith from Pistons Powered and The Athletic talk about on yesterday's show, use a lot of dribble handoffs and movement to get open looks, and the Cavs really handled all this well. They put an effort to get the spots. They didn't let dribble drives happen. They didn't give Andre Drummond clean rolls to the rim. Jose Calderon put in a lot of effort on Reggie Jackson. You go down the list, and pretty much everyone was good. The one player who maybe had a slightly off night was J.R. Smith, who had issues in the first quarter against Avery Bradley, but he rebounded as well. And I think everyone in this game really fought on defense. LeBron, too, had some moments that were bad, and Kevin Love got beat off the dribble sometimes by Tobias Harris. But overall, this Cavs team was locked in on defense, made the right adjustments, made the right rotations, and put in effort on defense. Teams are going to score. NBA teams are going to score because they're good at it, and these are professional players. This was as good of a defensive game as I think we've seen the Cavs play. Notable comes out Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love playing center, Channing Frye playing center. Not necessarily a lot of plus defenders on this team, functionally, but good defensive effort against a good Pistons team Yes, coming off the second half of a back-to-back where they played late and had to fight to beat the Wolves on Sunday, but still, impressive defensive performance from this Cavs team. A lot of good habits could be built from this game. Kevin Love, excellent in this game. He could have had an off night. He could have been put in situations where Andre Drummond destroyed him on defense, had issues with rebounding. Just having to do with that size at the center position could have been a problem for Kevin Love. Instead, the Pistons put Drummond on Jay Crowder on one end of the floor, and then Love guarded him on the other. When Love was on offense, he bullied Tobias Harris a lot of the time when the Pistons tried to have Drummond on Crowder and Love getting defended on the block by Harris. He was assertive, he attacked, and he made the Pistons pay over and over again for using Harris on him. This Kevin Love, who attacked, who handled smaller players, who fought on defense, who got 11 rebounds to go along with his 19 points, is exactly what the Cavs need. The Cavs have had this guy play against the Bucks, the Pistons, and this Kevin Love, who handles smaller players, is what they're going to need against the likes of the Wizards, the Raptors, and the Celtics later on this season. This Kevin Love, who, yes, he got beat off the dribble sometimes, and yes, Drummond, you know, had his moments because Drummond's just a lot bigger than him, but Kevin Love fought, he battled, he did everything he needed to do, and he maximized himself against mismatches. I have a piece up from Fear the Sword that if you're listening to this after 10 a.m. is already up. If it's before 10 a.m. on your way to work, it'll be up soon. I wrote about this. I think Kevin Love bullied the Pistons, and you could see how he maximized his positioning this whole game, and it was no mistake that the 1-3 he made in this game was against Eric Moreland, where Eric Moreland, the ex-Canton Charge center, a good center who's a more of a traditional rim-protecting type, Love popped out from behind a three-point line, spaced him out, and dared him to come out, and when he didn't, he hit the three. And it was very telling that that's how they attacked. This was a really, really good Kevin Love game. Jay Crowder, excellent. I think maybe his best game as a Cav. He moved off ball, really made Drummond pay for venturing too far away from him to help out in the paint and to start working on the glass. His three-point shot looks more comfortable, and LeBron even in this game shouted, "They gotta guard you, Jay," after he made one. Shouts to Jordan Zerm for pointing that out on Twitter. Jay Crowder defended well. He worked to get to the right spots off dribble handoffs, and he fought, and he made guys work, and he was just kind of everywhere using his strength, using his smarts, and using everything that makes him a really useful player. If he makes two of these shots that he missed at the rim, and doesn't blow those two LeBron assists, this would have been a 7 of 11 shooting day for him as well. This was just a really, really good Jay Crowder game, the kind of performance the Cavs want from him every night. And there's nothing more else you can say other than this is what the Crowder the Cavs have been waiting for. I think he really has turned a corner ever since the second half of that Dallas game, and I think since you've seen a guy who looks more comfortable, who's playing a little bit harder, who feels like he's settled into what he's doing with the Cavs, and that's a really, really good thing for this team as they move forward. Jose Calderon, not terrible, hit some threes, worked hard to defend, arguably outplayed Reggie Jackson, couldn't have asked for anything better. And then lastly, aside from LeBron obviously being very good, you know he's very good, you could watch him and Kevin Love score 28 points combined in the first quarter, LeBron rocked. Fourth quarter, Chetty Osman minutes were a good thing. He dribble drove, he played more confident than he did at any point this year, and he looked more like the guy that was so good at Eurobasket this summer. It feels as if Chetty minutes, I'm going to butcher this all year, I apologize. I'm going to get it eventually. It feels like minutes for him will be a talking point like Love elbow touches were. Shouts to Alex Raleigh for that idea. But there's certainly a case for him to get more minutes, and I think in this game you saw the guy more of the guy that we saw at Eurobasket than we've seen at any point so far in his young NBA career. That is going to wrap it up for the good. As always, go subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating and review if you like the podcast. It's the best way to support it. And, you know, the contest is wrapped up. I emailed the winners. I'll announce them on tomorrow's show. But I want to make sure I hear back from the second one first. But if you entered this time around, you'll be automatically entering for the next giveaway that I'll be doing in a month or two. But in the meantime, go drop in a 5-star rating and review if you want to support the podcast. Okay, now we get into the bat. One thing for me on the bad list. Just one. And that was J.R. Smith's play in the first quarter. He was 1-of-5 from 3. He had the aforementioned trouble containing Bradley in the first and never really settled into a groove. It didn't matter. The Cavs won. He ended up being good enough to kind of help things out and to kind of keep things flowing. But the Cavs, you know, they they got enough out of everything else. Like, this team played really, really well. You know, you could look at Crowder missing those two shots as a small bad thing. John Holland kind of was when he was in garbage time. But the guys that actually were part of this team in the rotation all had really good nights. Every starter, minimum of a plus minus of 15 plus. Plus 21 for Kyle Korver, plus 13 for Dwayne Wade, plus 5 for Fry, plus 5 for Green, both of whom who didn't benefit from playing in garbage time. Nothing really to not like about this Cavs game. They shot well. They made 16 to 17 free throws. They took care of the ball, only 11 turnovers against 28 assists on 42 made baskets. This was a good game for the Cavs, and just that one J.R. Smith opening quarter was really the trouble spot for me. It was the one thing you had to look at and say, okay, this didn't work, and you have to kind of just wonder what was going on with J.R. a little bit there. Player of the game, LeBron was really, really good. You know, I almost want to give Jose Calderon this because he was just unexpectedly good. This was a guy who I thought would be really bad. I've talked about how I thought he was going to be banished to the bench for the remainder of his time, but you really had to like what he did here. You had to like this guy who fought and all this stuff, but it's Kevin Love is the best player in this game. This is a guy who rebounded well against bigger and smaller guys, something he always hasn't done. I mean, just look at the Knicks game from last week where he really struggled against Enes Kanter. He took advantage of mismatches. He really made his presence felt in this game. In a league where the Cavs will often play smaller, quicker teams, where Love can post up smaller guys, those 3-4 tweeners, he's bigger than them for the most part. They need games like this. It will come in handy against basically every team the Cavs will need to beat this year. The Celtics have Marcus Morris. The Wizards have Kelly Oubre and to an extent Markieff Morris. Although Markieff's a little bit, you know, a little bit bigger. The Raptors are gonna play smaller lineups with Pascal Siakam, you know, at the four and are gonna play a little bit down more than they have in years past. You look at the finals, if they play the Warriors, if they make it there, you know, can Love score against those smaller lineups better than he has in years past? And everything they're going to see, the Pistons again in this division, the pretty much every other team they could see in the first round, look at what the lineups the Hornets play, what lineups every team is really playing. Love has to do this. He has to manage against these smaller lineups, against these smaller players, and this was the template for him to do it. Again, there's a piece of it for the sword. You can read about that more in depth. Stat of the game. Per cleaningtheglass.com, the Cavs' half-court offense ranked in the 97th percentile, or would if it was a full-season thing, at 1.171 points per possession in the half-court. So much of this, for me, was LeBron and Love scoring, but the Cavs' offense was really crisp in this game. It was efficient against a Pistons team that is right around 15th in the league coming into the game in defensive rating. They're not great. They're not awful. A defense, and this is kind of an argument for what has worked for the Cavs. They lean on LeBron, they lean on Love, Calderon fills in and just kind of does what he needs to do. There's not really hijacking from what we've seen from Rose this year. You know, you had Dwayne Wade running the second unit effectively with kind of no one else really kind of impeding what he needed to do. This really worked, and I think you saw a Cavs team that still play a little bit faster, still is pushing the ball a little bit more off live rebounds, but in the half court, they're succeeding. They're doing well, and you have to like what you saw from them in this game. And look, getting Kevin Love involved is something I'm going to advocate for. And even though post ups in this modern NBA can be a black hole, they can be bad wasted possessions. You take what you can get in games like this, and in a half court setting where he's posting up a guy like Tobias Harris, who he can score against and should score against more often than not. That's a good set for me, especially when you can surround him with shooting. And if they do decide to help on him and try to make him not shoot or not get that easy bunny hook or not get that easy fadeaway, there you can have LeBron there to be a secondary creator, JR, all these other guys shooting. And, you know, I think Isaiah, for one, is really going to fit well into this. What is next for the Cavs is a start of a two-game homestand that kicks off Wednesday against the Nets at 7 p.m. at Quicklands Arena. We'll be back tomorrow to preview that game to talk more about the Cavs. Mike Zevgano from ForTheSword.com will be the guest. We're hoping to have this guy named Anthony Puccio who covers the Nets. You can find him on Twitter at apooch, P-O-O-C-H. But he, you know, scheduling conflict, couldn't get him on. But you can follow him and check out NetsDaily.com. Check out Locked On Nets. And if you want to follow in what's going on with Brooklyn, a team the Cavs obviously have a lot of investment into seeing how they do. But that's going to be it for today's show. Again, go leave that 5-star rating and review. I appreciate everyone that submitted their reviews for the contest. Hope to keep getting your support on the show. And we'll talk to you again. The Cavs win. Look really good against the Pistons. One of their best wins of the year. 5 straight wins for this team. And we'll see what's next for them on Wednesday. Have a good Tuesday.